But first, Alexis Zaloski. Alexis is an award-winning New York Times culture reporter and theater critic. And it just so happens that the protagonist in her debut novel, Here in the Dark, is also a theater critic. More about that during the interview. Former Beta guest Michael Imperioli describes Alexis's book as hilarious, addictive, and elegantly constructed and composed. Michael nailed it. Alexis has written a psychological suspense novel that is a must-read. As I told Alexis via Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, I inhaled Here in the Dark. She wittily replied, "Don't forget to breathe." Thank you for the reminder, Alexis. Her novel was inspired by a strange series of events that happened to her while working at the Village Voice.
It's probably the most interesting thing that has ever happened to me. When I was in my 20s and working at the Village Voice, a man called the Village Voice and asked to interview me. He said he was a journalist and he was writing a piece on critics, how people got to be critics. I was young and female and a theater critic, which was kind of a rarity at the time. Maybe it still is. I did the interview and then I received a phone call a few weeks later saying that he had disappeared and that I was apparently the last person to have seen him. And this was upsetting, but it was also kind of exciting. I ended up talking to a private investigator that the family had hired. And at a certain point, I just left it alone. It didn't feel like my story. I'm not a detective. I could put it away. I didn't need to know what had happened. But it always stuck with me because it was such a strange thing. And so I've always wondered, well, what would have happened if I'd pursued it? And what would have happened if it wasn't me, if it was someone a lot less boring and a lot less stable who really needed to know?
Mm-hmm. And it made for a great opening, didn't it?
There's nothing like having a plot handed to you. Like, that's not a gift horse I want to look in the mouth too much.
Very well said. How difficult was it for you to pivot from writing stories and reviews to writing your first novel, Here in the Dark?
I do think that writing is writing. And when I actually wrote the first draft of this novel, it was a few years ago now, and I was waiting to defend my doctoral dissertation. So I had just written this ridiculous, you know, 300 and some page work on illness and drama, and that involved a lot of medical research. And strangely enough, this felt kind of like a vacation from all of that stress. And so I don't know that it was that different. I think sometimes if you love to write, which for better or for worse, I do, maybe the container doesn't matter so much.
Yeah, that's very well said. You write theater reviews, and so does your protagonist, Vivian Perry. And Vivian has this great line, "I am too fine a critic to endure bad art." Is that your philosophy too?
No, I put up with so much bad art. I mean, this morning my daughter is in the fifth grade and I just went to her class's talent show and I made it through all the way. I have sympathy. I have great sympathy for bad art, but I'm glad that I was not called upon perhaps to review that talent show. I do believe in something that the wonderful playwright and critic George Bernard Shaw said, which is Shaw had this idea of the critical instinct, which is this thing in you, which is if you are a critic and you know that something is bad, it will destroy your soul to say anything different. And there are ways of saying this more and less kindly. That's probably the sliding scale. But you cannot delude yourself if you have the critical instinct into believing that something is good, if it's not. I also believe, of course, that goodness is a deeply subjective form and that not everyone will agree. But if you, in the depths of your soul, feel that something is not good, you have no choice as a critic but to say that. So I think I do agree with that.
Yeah. Both you and Vivian studied acting in college, and you used to do improv. Did the improv idea of yes and, did that make it easier to write your novel?
Well, I technically did more sketch comedy, and we did a lot of musicals. I think that We were called The Fifth Humor. We started it and we're still going, apparently, which is wonderful. And I think our greatest work was Okla Hamlet, which I would sing for you if I could sing. But yes, there is something about committing to a novel where you just have to go with your instincts and you just have to go with your choices and you do have to turn your own critic off. I certainly have moments when I'm writing where I think to myself, this is bad. This is bad. It is a humiliating thing to be writing something this bad. But I also have the wisdom and the experience gleaned from years of journalism and wonderful and sympathetic editors to know that you can only make something good once you have something that exists on the page. You can't make good out of a void. And so you just keep going, you follow the instinct. And if it turns out the instinct is wrong, okay, that's for your second draft, your third draft, your fourth draft.
I love that line you just said, that you can't make good out of a void. That's good advice.
I should also say that Vivian, my protagonist, quits acting out of a great trauma. I just quit acting because I wasn't very good at it. And I think I was tired of taking my shirt off. And I thought maybe it would be nice not to have an eating disorder. So there was no trauma. There was no great break. But I decided that I was much better off as a journalist.
But you said you didn't think you were good at it, but could that be your inner critic? Maybe you were better than you thought you were?
You are so kind to me, but I am good at some things. I'm smart. I'm quick. I do well in certain kinds of comedy. I have an ear for pacing. What I don't have, and which I admire so much in great actors, is emotional lability. And that's a kind of emotional nimbleness or flexibility or the ability to convey emotion. I cannot be up on stage. I can probably make you laugh on a good day, but I don't think I can make you feel something. And I really love and admire the actors who can, and I knew that I wasn't among them.
Fair enough, yeah. Let's talk about that inciting incident when your protagonist, Vivian Perry, meets up with the grad student, David Adler, at a bakery. What happens?
So David wants to interview her ostensibly about being a critic. And Vivian has plenty to say about being a critic. She has a decade of work under her belt. She is a woman of strong opinions, which I love. But David seems to have other motives as well. He seems to want to know more about who she is personally. And he seems to want to know about her past. And that is not something that she discusses. She keeps her personal life and her professional life in entirely separate spheres.
Towards the end of your book, Vivian mentions the Greek word anagnorisis. Can you tell us the meaning of this word?
Sure. So anagnorisis is one of the linchpins of Greek tragedy. And we get this from Aristotle's work on tragedy. And Aristotle thought that there were many necessary elements of a Greek tragedy, but the most important were what he called peripeteia, which means reversal. Someone seems like they're doing so well. You know, Oedipus seems like a good king, you know, and then there is always a scene of recognition. And the scene of recognition is a devastating scene where you realize, oh no, you've killed your father and you've married your mother. Oh no, you've killed your son. Oh no, your actions have led to the death or destruction of everything you have held dear. And it is a profoundly upsetting moment in tragedy. It is when the floor absolutely drops away and you realize that there is no bottom. It's almost unbearable to watch. I have to watch it through my fingers, honestly. I did not know. I did not know what the reversals or the recognition would be. Writing, for me, is often a process of discovery, and I'm very excited to find out what happens in the end. I mean, I hope as a reader you are too, because it was a big surprise.
Oh yeah, it was a great ending, a great twist ending, and I was kind of kicking myself. I said, because you did plant little seeds, and I thought, geez, I should have been able to figure that out. But yeah, so to answer, I was going to ask you, if what the agnoneurisis in Here in the Dark was, and did you work backward from there? But as you just said, you did not. You didn't know what the ending was going to be until you got there, right?
I didn't know, but I will say once I got there, I perhaps went back and planted a few of those seeds. Once I knew where it would ultimately go, then I could make the road both a little smoother and a little twistier.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and you did that. And thank you for making it smoother and twistier. You say that we all perform in our daily lives in social situations. Does that mean that our conversation that we're having right now is a performance?
I think it is, but I don't think that there is necessarily an opposition between performance and authenticity. But I do believe that a lot of behavior is learned performance. I know that I behave differently when I am with my children than when I am with my colleagues at work, when I'm with an editor, say, that, you know, when I'm with a group of mom friends on a night out. I don't think that any of those versions of me are necessarily the true one and that the others are false or inauthentic. But I think that we all perform versions of ourselves in appropriate situations, and that if you feel that you're a fairly integrated person, you know, if like me, you've had a lot of therapy, then it's not necessarily discontinuous or disjunctive, I would say. But I do think that we absolutely perform. And sometimes it can be upsetting. I remember as a child being very upset when I would see my mother behave differently with someone else in the room than with me. And that felt very strange to me. But as an adult myself, I consider it fairly normative, you know, and I'm influenced by thinkers like Erwin Goffman, Freud, you know, ideas like the psychopathology of everyday life. But I do think that there's a lot of theater in everyday life. And I do think that we perform for each other. I was at the Village Voice for many years, and there's a legendary voice writer, Vivian Gornick, and she has a wonderful essay about New York, which is called On the Street, Nobody Watches, Everyone Performs. And it's about how if you're going to survive in a city, then you do have to have this sort of carapace of performance just to move through the world.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And thank you so much for mentioning Erving Goffman, the legendary sociologist, my fellow Canadian, and he would be your fellow American. Because, yeah, that book he wrote, I forget the title, but what's really interesting about it, what I wanted to ask you about it, even if you hadn't mentioned it, I would have brought it up, is just that he looks at the way we perform in social situations in a theatrical kind of way. Is that book an influence for you?
Yeah, and I have a friend, Jacob, who used it as the basis for a whole dissertation. But that feels very truthful to me and very beautiful. And people, there's a long, 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 long history going back all the way to Plato, if you want to get fancy about it, of what we call the anti-theatrical prejudice. And that's people just really not liking theater, thinking that theater is fake, theater is false, theater is put on, theater is make-believe. And I'm not saying they're 100% wrong. Theater is make-believe. But I choose to think that that is wonderful and additive rather than bad and something that we should avoid. I think it's wonderful to create. I think it's wonderful to perform. I think it's wonderful to make things up. I mean, what's fiction if not a kind of performance on the page?
I almost think that Here in the Dark could work as a play, as a piece of theater. Have you ever entertained that idea? What do you think? Or maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree.
The longest play I've ever written is a 5-minute comedy sketch. And that's because plays are so hard to write. It is so hard to create a whole world just through dialogue and the occasional stage direction. But if someone else wanted to adapt it, I was joking with someone on what we used to call Twitter the other day, a choreographer who had liked the book, saying, great, you can choreograph the musical. So if someone wants to make a version of this with a kick line, believe me, I'm all in, but it wouldn't be me.
Right, yeah, but it would be, yeah, because you've been there, done that. But it would be interesting, especially like the whole scene where Vivian does the interview with the guy who runs the snow, the fake snow, the artificial snow. I could really picture it. So what is next for you? Are you going to write another novel or take a break?
I don't know how it happened because I work full-time at the New York Times and I have 2 young children, but somehow in the last year I have. So I've written another thriller, another work of literary suspense, which is set mostly in the early 1970s, about a young woman who runs away on a European tour with an experimental theater company, and bad things happen and a lot of people die.
Alexis Sulawski, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on Here in the Dark. It's a dark, delicious debut novel. I'm looking forward to reading your next book.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alexis Sulawski is the author of the novel Here in the Dark. Find out more about Alexis and her book at WPR.org/beta.
I knew we had to capture the five guys, and I knew I wanted to always start each story with one of their hits.
Coming up, Denny Tedesco talks about Immediate Family, a documentary that profiles the session musicians who helped shape the sound of 70s and 80s rock. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.